Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
Oh, God bless you, everybody. It's always such an honor and a blessing to be here in Roscoe at the mothership. And I'm sure Pastor Kevin is enjoying his time, and we're so blessed by that, when he can get some rest and get rejuvenated and ready for this 2019 that we're about to enter into. And I'm also blessed to be here to give the last message of the year, and I pray that it catapults you into 2019. And this is what the Lord gave me for Life Church and for us individually and corporately. And the title of my message is called Be Fruitful, Multiply, and Replenish the Earth. And so I believe that God is getting us back to the vision in which we were created for. And that starts in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 to 28. And it says, so God created man in his image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created them, he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And when God said, let there be light, what happened? Light appeared and put darkness where it belonged. You know, at the night season, that is a time that we are also gleaning from, where we're rested and we're being rejuvenated at that time of the evening. God put darkness where it belonged, and it says, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea. And we're talking about dominion after that. But sometimes we hear about the kingdom, and we right away want to get to dominion, but there is a process to dominion. And the process is being fruitful, multiplying, and replenishing or filling the earth of what it needs. And, I'm going to open up us to Matthew chapter 15, chapter 14, verses 15 to 20. Because we need to learn from our eldest brother, Jesus, okay? Sometimes we're acting like Adam and Eve, our other brother and sister, but God wants us to learn from our eldest brother, Jesus, amen? Okay, and so it says here, and when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place. And the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves something to eat. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, we have here five loaves and two fishes. He said, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the five loaves and the two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up all of the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they had eaten, and they that had eaten were 5,000 men besides women and children. 5,000 men, they're not even counting the women and children that were fed that day. And how many of you know men are big eaters? Okay? And so we have to take his example. He was in a desert. They were in a desert place. And he was like, don't tell them to go home, because they ain't going to come back. Okay? I got them captivated right now. I got them hearing what I'm trying to say. I have to fulfill the revelation in which God wants me to impart in them. So no, he looked to heaven, and then he began to bless what was there. This is so important right now, how we see the pattern of Jesus. And you have to understand, he was training his disciples. Okay? And so they were watching his move. And it's so funny how God told him, well, give them to eat. Jesus told him, well, give them to eat. And so because the disciples were still thinking in a natural or common sense realm, they were not looking at the ability of God. They were looking at what they had in their hand. So Jesus made an example. He just didn't do it so everybody can go, ooh, ah. But he was showing them, he was teaching them what to do when you're in a desert. What to do when there is nothing around. How to create what you need. He said he looked to heaven where our help comes from. A lot of time we look at each other. We look at so-and-so couldn't help me. So-and-so promised me something and they didn't come through. And we're looking at our natural, or we're looking at our at what we have in front of us and not looking to heaven. A lot of times that's the last place we go, but that's the first place Jesus went to. Because Jesus knew he had some time on the earth. He knew the vision. He had the vision in his heart of why God called him to the earth, why he was created. So he captured every time. He didn't look at the limitations. He looked at the vision. He looked at the plan that was in hand that God had given to him. And so he already had the multitude following. So he said, no, don't send them all home. Just bring me what is there. And he looked to heaven and he blessed it. And so that's something very important that we need to understand. You know, I like to talk in examples sometimes because you can kind of relate to it sometimes. But there's been times in my life and issues that have come into my life that the answer did not seem logical. And we can even look at different things when we lose sight of God, when we lose sight of the patterns that Jesus left for us. And we're going to turn to Matthew 15, chapter 1 to 3. And it says, then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. But he answered unto them and said, why do you also transgress against the commandments of God by your tradition? You know, so they were not looking at the hands that were dirty. They were looking at this was a tradition that they did. You know, to me, this was a hygiene issue. It's not really a tradition. I would have got my little thieves hand cleaning lotion and squirted them suckers and said, rub your hands, we're going to eat right now. But it was a violation into their hearts of the tradition that they had set. And sometimes those traditions can limit us to see the power of God. And I'm going to show you some example. For example, the Samaritan woman. The Jews did not talk to Samaritans. But Jesus violated that tradition because a woman needed to be loosed. And not just that woman, a city needed to be loosed. And when God loosed the woman, the city, God had the city in mind as well. Come on, somebody. Hello? So it was necessary. The Bible says it was necessary for Jesus to go there. The disciples, again, they were worried about eating, so they went back to go get some food. And Jesus said, it's necessary for me to go through Samaria. So he went through Samaria, and that's when he met the Samaritan woman there. And so another example is when Jesus healed on the Sabbath. That was another tradition of man. But somebody needed to be healed on the Sabbath. Hello, somebody. You know, what if you have 24 hours to live, and they said, we got to pray for you tomorrow. You're going to pray for me right now. Hello? Because I'm going, the Bible says to go to the elders of the church to lay hands. So you're going to pray for me right now. I don't care what your tradition means. Hello? God had to Jesus to heal because he only did what his father said to do. And so also Jesus eating with the tax collectors, they began to judge Jesus because he would eat with them. Why was he hanging around with them? Because they needed salvation. Hello? They needed salvation. And so Jesus wasn't there to act like them or take on their habits. He was there to minister salvation. And maybe you don't have the strength yet to go back into those arenas or crowds that you used to hang with because you're still working on the greater one inside of you, being built up inside of you. Hello? But Jesus began, the religious and the traditions of man become of no effect. In Mark 17 and 13, Mark says it this way, so you nullify the authority of the word of God, acting as if it did not apply because of your tradition, which you have handed down through the elders, and you do many things such as this. Hello. We make the word of God of no effect because of the way we think. you know, in the garden with Adam and Eve, this is what happened. Their eyes were open to evil, so they were constantly focused on evil, and they could not focus on the goodness of God like they were focusing on before. Okay, and when we talk about the image of God, sometimes we think how his nose looked, how his eyes looked. No, it was the image of what impression he left everywhere he went. His impression was goodness. His impression was healing. It was deliverance. It was looking beyond the situation. And even as a lunatic, when Jesus began to deliver the lunatic, the people wanted to know who sinned, who made the guy like that. That was none of their business. That was not even a part of the equation. The equation was Jesus, the Son of God, was there. Come on, somebody, full of power, full of majesty. And he had an answer that nobody, no generation had the answer to but him. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I'm telling you, 2019 is an eye opener. We're going to begin to see the goodness of God. And God, and it's time for us to close our eyes to the negativity and all the, you know, what the problem is. The problem is you're always Googling everything. You Google the illness. You Google and you think you're a medical doctor now because you Google your symptoms and things like that. You need to Google the word of God according to your situation. God did not ask for your opinion. He asked for you to stand, doing all to stand. Keep standing on the word of God. Come on, somebody. Come on. It's we get in trouble when we give our opinion on something. Jesus, he looked to heaven and he blessed. A lot of time we curse ourselves instead of blessing. Amen. I've been in situations where in the natural it would look like I need to slap somebody. Hello? But I chose the other cheek. Hello? I came from the higher place. I came from heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And that's the only thing that's going to change that situation. Hello? That's the only way that's going to change the things that are happening. You got to choose the heavenly place in Christ Jesus. Amen? And you know, it was really amazing what I found out about an eagle. An eagle does not fight the snake on the ground. It picks up the snake into the sky, and it changes the battleground. Then the eagle releases the snake into the sky where the snake has no stamina, no power or balance in the air. It is useless, weak, and vulnerable, unlike on the ground where it is powerful, wise, and deadly. See, we gotta live above the line. Like Pastor Kevin's been teaching us. I'm telling you, 2018 was full of series that were renewing the mind, the way you thought of things. We're so blessed also to have Pastor Ken preaching with us. Come on, somebody. Come on, let's give the Lord a praise offering for bringing Pastor Ken on board and just bringing just those series that are trying to renew our minds to where God wants us to be so that we can be the glorious church that God is calling us to be. You know, God, Pastor Kevin was teaching on raising kings. He was talking about building altars, being awesome. And also that I love that series, Never Saw That Coming, and Do the Work. Come on, somebody. And then the last one, Greater Things. I want you to know that these are all prophetic words God is bringing over you and over your generations. Don't be afraid of greater things. I'm telling you right now, don't let the enemy pervert the meaning of what greater things means. Greater things is just God beginning to manifest in greater ways than you ever saw, than ever you, whatever you heard or whatever entered into your heart. And I'll tell you, we're going to be amazed at what God is doing. And as I brought this message, because I see things prophetically. I don't know about you, but this is how my walk is with God. I see God speaks to me all the time in the cool of the day. He speaks to me all the time. When I got this message together, someone brought to me today at the 10 o'clock service in Rockford a picture of an eagle. That's very prophetic. God is putting a seal on this thing. We got to begin to come into that heavenly place with Christ Jesus. So sometimes we lose the vision by looking at the natural. We look at what is it going to do to me? What is it going to affect me? I don't know about you, but God never asked me to do something logical. Hello? When I first started preaching, the first 7 years, God had me preaching in Spanish, and I didn't even know Spanish. Even though I looked Spanish, that was probably half the battle conquered right there. They could receive me because I looked Spanish. But my pastor said, okay, Norma, I'm going to release you to preach now. I'm going to preach for a whole week. Yay! 5 days in a row. Yay! Or five Fridays in a row. Yay! I was so excited. But then here comes the but. But it's going to have to be in Spanish. And let me tell you, I lean not on my own understanding, but I acknowledge God in all my ways, and he directed my path. So I learned one verse in Spanish really good. And then after I did all the Spanish words I knew on that one verse, people came up for the altar call, and they were all Spanish speaking. So they would start talking to me in Spanish, and I would lay my hands, and they would fall out. Woo! Fall out. Woo! Fall out. Fall out. So they didn't need to hear my Spanish. They need to feel the Holy Ghost with power. Come on, somebody. See, because if I would say, well, God, like God didn't know I didn't know Spanish. Hello? I didn't argue with God and say, well, I don't know Spanish. I knew he knew I didn't know Spanish. I just said, well, I figure he wants to be glorified, I guess. Hello? And if my pastor sent me, then he must think I can do it, because that means he's going to look funny. Hello? Are you hearing what I'm saying? We got to think above, from above and not beneath. Don't look what you can do. Look what God can do. Okay, five amens. We're going to get it by the end of this thing. I'm telling you right now. Because God is taking us somewhere. He's taking us to greater things. You know, we can say, oh, yeah, we're going to do an orphanage in Thailand. Yay! Okay, who's going to get to missions? Hello? Oh, God's giving us a nation. Yay! Who wants to go do the Bible school there? Hello, somebody. We got to think in a greater way. God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Amen. So in Proverbs 3, 5 and 7, 5 and 6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. See, this is who you need to trust in, the Lord. When he says for you to do something, when Jesus called Peter on the water didn't come underneath him. He had to put his foot out there. Hello? He had to put his foot out there, and God and Jesus helped him the rest of the way. See, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You start and you might come down, but Jesus will extend your hand and bring you back up. Hello? The thing about it is that what we inherited from Adam and Eve, or from the snake in the garden, what we inherited was pride and ego. Now we're afraid of how it's going to look. How things are going to look. I don't know how it's going to look. You know, I was preaching, I was prophesying, going out to the nations to prophesy on teams and things like that. And all of a sudden, my kids became wacky. They got on drugs. They were doing things. And I went to my pastor. I told him the whole story. And he said, well, Norma, and I was an elder of the church. And he said, well, Norma, I'm not telling you to step down. But if you step down, it's between you and God. And so I said, okay, well, now I'm going to have to listen to God. Because if my pastor's not sitting me down, then I must, that's favor from God, and God still wants me to be an elder. So I stayed in that position of elder, and I stayed ministering, because God told me, Norma, if you stop preaching, then you're saying everything you preach was a lie. He said, keep preaching, and I'm going to manifest it in your life. Like I said, I didn't start Googling what cocaine could do, what ecstasy could do. I started looking to the word of God. I started standing in the promise of God. I started seeing what a power of a praying mama could do. Come on, somebody. I started speaking over my kids. I started blessing them. I started blessing them. I started blessing them. I looked to heaven and I blessed them. I never spoke to them out of their name. I spoke who they were. I mean, one of my sons, he was selling drugs. And I said, you're a businessman. You're not a drug dealer. God don't create drug dealers. He creates business. Man. And I'm going to tell you, God, if when you put things in God's hands, let me tell you, when he went to go live with his father at 15 years old, and he went and got into a lot of trouble, I was so sad. I was crying because he was at a really good school in Darien, Illinois. And he had gotten a mentorship program that was going to mentor him. And here I was making $8.50 an hour with four children. And I was so excited. This is an opportunity for my son to go to college. And so then he went to make a decision like that to leave. I cried so much about that. I was at my job at the copier, tears coming down. And my boss said, Norma, don't cry. He said, don't worry. Things are going to turn around. And he was an atheist. Hello? And so I stopped crying. I said, here I'm supposed to be the Christian. Here I'm supposed to be the one that believes in Jesus. And here he's coming to comfort me. So I went back to work. And that, long story short, this is when he was 15, 16 years old. When he was 25 years old, say 25. Do the math, okay? 16 minus 25. Well, anyway, when he was 25 years old, he worked for a company in Michigan, the car company, when the industry got hit and they were doing buyouts. This young man got $40,000 cash. He got 4 years of college paid and 4 years of unemployment so he can just go to college. And now he's an electrician today. Now he's in business today. That's when you don't look at the situation. I didn't blame my mama, my daddy, my being Hispanic, being a woman. I didn't look at those elements. I was looking to God who created me. I was looking to God, the author and the finisher of my faith. Are you hearing me, people? Greater things are about to happen, but you gotta stand and believe what God is, and don't be afraid to step out. Don't be afraid to give of your time, of your talent. That's the only way you're going to see it manifest in your children. This last verse is going to, I hope, open up your heart right now. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2 to 12. It says, now Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, a wise man from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. See, it had been prophesied that a king of the Jews would be born. There was a word out there in the atmosphere that there was going to be a new king in town. And so when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determine from them that what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I might come and worship him also. This king, you know, in kingships, it's usually handed down to the child and then the next child. It is a lineage. Well, when King Herod heard another king was coming to shift the rulership. Come on, somebody. To shift the rulership. You don't understand. It's time to take yourself seriously. The moment you get saved, you are now the child that is born. You are now the new king in your generation that is about to arise. Come on, somebody. To shift what was to what God has for us. Come on, somebody. Come on. It's time to stop crying and weeping and start knowing who you are and know how to get to heaven. Come on, somebody. And pull down what is from in heaven into the earth. It's time to be an eagle. Come on, somebody. It's time to soar. And I believe in 2019, God is going to cause us to soar. Many of have been confounded and we have not understood. People have said you should be there, you should be doing this. Let me tell you, I never let anybody tell me where I should be because they don't know. Only God knows where I'm going to be. I never thought I would be a campus pastor. Hello, somebody. I never thought I would work with police officers and and corners and different things like that of the city of Rockford. I never knew that. And nobody could have ever told me that either. See, many of us are disappointed for doors that were closed, like Pastor Ken was saying. Those closed doors were there to help you not go the wrong way and waste any more time. Hello. You got to believe what God has for you. No one can divert it but you believing the wrong thing. Hello. A grown man, a grown king was scared of a baby. Let me tell you, Jesus became a millionaire at his baby shower. The three wise men brought him gifts. Hello? They didn't even send out invitations. A star led him there. Come on, somebody, open up your spiritual eyes and begin to see what God created you for. You are not the downtrodden. Hello? If you understand, I'm a king. I'm a king in my generation. Maybe alcoholism came in my generation. Maybe addiction came. I'm going to stop owning that thing because now I belong to Jesus, and I'm going to now set a precedence right now. I am ruling over this generation as a child of God, and you will not enter into my children or my grandchildren. Come on, somebody. Hello. See, I lived a rejected life when I was little. I always felt rejected. I got in a relationship that was I felt rejected. When I came to Christ, I felt accepted. So my kids do not feel, they're not walking in, they learned how to walk out of rejection through my life of getting deliverance and getting a ministry also. And now my grandchildren, they don't care if you reject them, they'll reject you. I have a granddaughter, she's only 2 years old, and she'll just look at you, she'll smile, and she'll go. She'll look at you up and down while she's smiling. She's taking that radar, that discernment. Are you for me or are you against me? Hello? And my other two-year-old, I could tell he's a preacher already. He goes around the house, blah, 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 blah. Hello, speaking in tongues already, 2 years old. Come on, somebody. Hello, come on, somebody. You are the king that was born into your generation for such a time as this. Stop owning the diseases. Stop owning the depression. Stop owning the anxiety. Stop owning those things and start owning what God gave you. Come on, somebody. Peace, joy, love in the Holy Ghost. He gave you the kingdom. It was his good pleasure to give you the kingdom, and it's time to live like kingdom people. Hello. I'm telling you, we can see the difference in Rockford. Rockford is changing. The name of Rockford is changing. It used to be the second worst city to live in the United States, but now it's been recommended as one of the top 15 cities to move to. Come on, somebody. And it's because of praying people like you. It's because of Pastor Kevin having a vision for Rockford. Come on, somebody. Because first you got to change the atmosphere in Rockford before you can come into it and take it. Come on, somebody. Woo! See, You gotta trust who God puts behind this pulpit. You gotta trust the vision that comes forth out of it. When Pastor Kevin declared greater things, you know, all kinds of, you know how it's a good way to activate your own demons? When people talk to you about money or your weight. You can analyze yourself. When somebody talks to you about paying for something, like you're going to go to a store and you say, how much is this? And they give you a price. That poverty demon comes up. Hello? If you're a Christian and you expect something free from another Christian, that's not God. Hello? You better honor that person and pay them what they're worth. Come on, yes. You can tell what's inside of you when people start telling you. And those are the two very important things in your life, your health and your finances. They're very important for your life. And that's why we're doing you an injustice if we're not telling you to take care of yourself. We're doing you an injustice and not just live in the spirit realm. You're going to get there faster if you don't take care of yourself. Hello? We want to live from the spirit realm on the earth because there's people that need to be saved. Hello? I don't want to be in that number ahead of time because I will be in the choir in heaven. Hello, somebody. Are you hearing what I say? A man, a grown man, intimidated of a baby. And it was a prophecy. It was a prophetic word that brought the fear of the Lord upon people. See, the people, it's not just King Herod was scared. The people were scared too. Because they were used to being controlled. Hello. They were used to having someone telling them what their day was going to look like. Hello. They were used to idolizing that king. But the lineage was about to change when Jesus came on the earth. The earthly king was afraid. And when you become born again, you are now that embryo that's growing into a baby, into a child, into an adult. And I believe we're in this stage as a body of Christ that God is looking for maturity to release the inheritance. Because in Galatians says that a person that is a child or is not walking in maturity is like a child still having to be under tutors before they receive the inheritance. But I believe 2019 is going to be an eye-opener because God called us to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And that's what you call dominion. That's what you call dominion. See, we want dominion, but it won't come until you fill the earth. Filling the earth is what causes dominion. Not just somebody touching you, dominion power. No. If somebody lays hands on you and say dominion power, get ready to be fruitful and multiply. Then the dominion power will manifest from your life. How many of you understand that? You are the opportunity of a shift of your generation. You know, my dad, he was an orphan. He didn't know how to show love. And that was one of my points of rejection at a time of my life, because he would just pat me. I was a full-on hugger, but he would just pat me in the back. They're there. And I would have felt rejected sometimes, but when I came to Christ, I understood how powerful that pat was, because my dad didn't even get the pat, but he took the generation up another notch of men in my family. So now let's have some kind of touch, this kind of pat. Hello? When I grew up in Christ, I understood that pat was a full-on hug for him. And you know how many people are still bound because someone didn't hug them? But when you're in Christ, you understand it's not about you. It's what they need healed in them sometimes. Hello? And so my kids are huggers. My boys, they're in their 30s. Minus one in their 30s, and they'll hug me. And they hug me if they're only going to be at my house for 5 minutes. They hug me when they come. They hug me when they leave. They tell me I love you. And I'm telling you, if I go to their homes now to go visit, because I don't always go to their homes, but when I do, when I sit on the couch, they're jumping on my lap for me to scratch their head. Because I was a head scratcher to my boys. Although I spoiled their wives by that, so. Now they have to do it too. And so one of my sons, the daughter didn't have that culture of hugging, but I didn't offend her by just going and doing it right away. I waited for her to get to know me. I didn't violate that or say, oh, my daughter-in-law is not lovable. No, she was lovable, but she just didn't express it that way. But now she knows me so many years now. Now we get full-on hugs. See, we got to grow into this thing. It doesn't happen overnight. touch you and you're transformed. You got to understand, people take that story about Paul. In 3 days, he was transformed. But you got to understand, the man knew the word. He just didn't have the spirit. Hello? The man studied. The man had accolades. But he didn't have the spirit. But once he got the spirit and the word together, come on, somebody, revelation came down. Lives were shifted. Cities were loose. Churches were loose. Come on, somebody. Hello. Don't think it's just a name it and claim it thing. No, it is standing on the word and waiting for God to create it. Hello. How many are you ready for 2019? I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready. Hello. God is going to cause Life Church, but you got to learn how to bless the vision of this church. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands all over this place. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless the vision of Life Church. We bless greater things. We speak blessings to Pastor Kevin and Maria. Lord, thank you that there are people that hear God and don't lean on their own understanding. Just hear you and wait for you to move them through it. Lord, I pray right now, Father, any demonic perversion on the greater things, Lord, we broken right now in the name of Jesus. Come into alignment with what God has said over this church. Lord, I pray for greater things. I thank you for greater things. You already did it. Heaven already brought it down. Now we bless it, God, like Jesus did. We bless greater things. We bless the vision of Life Church, where you want to take it, into Thailand, into Africa, into the nations, into our communities, into our local church, into Rockford, into Beloit, into Rockton, God. We agree with your vision for Life Church. We are the game changers. If we are born again, we are called to be the kings, the rulers of the atmospheres of our homes, of our marriages, of our generations, that we multiply it through our children and our grandchildren, and they will fill the earth, and then dominion will manifest. Father, I pray right now that you loose the finances, that you loose the gifts and the talents that belong to the vision. That you loose what we need. Loose passports, Lord. Loose, God, time. Loose what we need to fulfill what you called us to do. I pray it individually. You loose their finances, Lord. I bless everyone under the sound of my voice to prosper. I look to heaven and I say what you say, Lord. I bless them to prosper in their marriages, in their family, in their businesses, in their careers, that we will fill the earth, God. 2019 is a year of fruitful multiplication and replenishing of our generations, of our lives. We are the shift. We are the kings of the king. We will be the lords of the Lord. And we will take dominion. I thank you for every series, every message that came behind this pulpit, God. I thank you for the Holy Spirit conference that we had, that you imparted some prophetic words over this campus. We receive them, Lord. And let us be like the wise man watching for the movement of it and becoming a part of it, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for my transformation, Lord. Since I've been here, January will be 10 years. And Lord, if I could just do a photo process of how I looked every year and how you have prospered me and transformed me and renewed my mind and changed my financial bracket and bring me up, Lord God, to be able to stand and make my name credible. You made my name credible, Lord. And you're going to continue to make my generations credible, Lord, through your power through your rulership, through your kingship, Lord. We accept our kingship. Come on, accept it. We accept our kingship. We will rule from heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your example. Thank you for what you have given us. Thank you for the release of inheritance in 2019, the beginning of a season, not just in 2019, but the beginning of that, opening our eyes to the good news, to the good things, Father. In the name of Jesus, and I bind and I take authority of all spirits of immaturity. In the name of Jesus, all spirits of arrested development, I take authority now over you in Jesus' name. And you will no longer let people stay midgets in the spirit. And you will no longer keep our minds little. But I decree expansion in the way we think, expansion in the way we live, expansion as a campus, expansion as a ministry. We speak that now in Jesus' mighty name. And if you believe that, let's give the Lord a praise offering.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.